It is gone! A two-run home run for Reese Hoskins. Game over! Franco wins it!
He got it! Pulled it right out of the bushes!
Swing and a miss! He got him! And Aaron Nola leads two.
Swing and a miss! Struck him out!
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 272. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. And coming up, we're going to talk all about Phillies opening day. Folks, baseball in Philadelphia is back. If that wasn't clear to everyone who watched opening day, who watched the Phillies game against the Braves on Thursday afternoon, and certainly for those of you who attended the game, who were at Citizens Bank Park, who were in the parking lot tailgating ahead of the game, who was in there when Bryce Harper's name was first called, who got to witness what you guys witnessed on Thursday afternoon at the bank against the Braves. Man, if that doesn't tell you baseball is back in this town, I don't know what will. So we're going to get into everything that went down here on opening day. It's just going to be me, just you and me talking this through for the next 20 or 25 minutes or so. We're going to break this game down because, in my opinion, this was the single greatest opening day that I can ever remember. Now, I know that there have been some good ones. Recently, there was a John Mayberry walk-off win in 2012 that was pretty good. The Phillies made a big rally in the ninth inning to beat Houston that day. But for much of that game, it was really boring. The Phillies kind of looked dead in the water for much of that game, and it felt like a loss for most of the day. On Thursday, at Citizens Bank Park, it was just a party. Man, you could feel it. You could feel it watching the game on TV. You could feel it watching the game on MLB.TV, on the computer, on the phone that I was watching the game on for much of the afternoon. I was sick for much of the afternoon on Thursday, just not feeling well, getting over some kind of quick 24-hour norovirus or whatever it happened to be. But it was special. This opening day was special, and we knew that this team was going to be special. And I know there are a lot of people who were worried that the team would get off to a slow start, and they still might. But there were so many new additions to this team that came through this offseason that it really felt like a new era was here, and you could not have drawn up a better script for opening day than what the Phillies gave you with their 10-4 victory over their interdivision rivals, the Atlanta Braves. And this was the Phillies' largest margin of victory on opening day since a Roy Halladay-led 11-1 win over the Nationals at Nats Park in 2010. That was a great opening day, no doubt about it, but it was on the road. And granted, it was at Nationals Park in 2011 when Philadelphia fans basically turned Nats Park into Philly South, but it wasn't at home. It wasn't as electric. It wasn't happening in your own stadium. And from the very beginning of the game, when Bryce Harper came out wearing his Fanatic cleats, which were just amazing. If you saw the Fanatic cleats, they were fun. You know, and this, is there any player, any new player who has ever come into a city and just instantaneously understood what we were all about, what would get us going, what would make everybody talk, what would get everybody laughing and excited? I mean, Bryce Harper just gets it on every single level. And his debut went as expected, at least as far as the atmosphere is concerned. The crowd went absolutely nuts during pregame introductions. So they were chanting, "Harper, Harper, Harper," when he ran out to right field and took a deep bow before the fans. You could tell Harper was enjoying this. He was just soaking the whole thing up. He didn't get this in Washington, D.C. He was loved by the fans here, and they appreciated him, but he didn't get this playing for the Nationals. He didn't get this kind of adoration. And his performance at the plate on opening day was certainly not anything to write home about, but that's not really the story of this game, amazingly. Harper grounded out in his first plate appearance, and then he struck out with runners on base in his second and third plate appearances, and I saw some reporting that he even got a little bit of booing. I didn't hear anything after the second strikeout, and it's possible that it may have trickled in after the third because it was I believe that that was the at-bat where he struck out. No, that was, there was nobody on base on that one. The second at bat is when he struck out with a runner on third and nobody out and couldn't get the run home. And for part of this game, Julio Teheran, the Braves starting pitcher, was very, very good. It was hard to tell whether or not he was going to throw a fastball or a slider. He was really on point. And when Teheran has got his good stuff, he can be very tough to figure out. Harper has great career numbers against Julio, and that did not work in his favor in the home opener, in the season opener here on Thursday. But, you know, what was great was that Harper's teammates picked up the slack. And really the new guys did a lot of good things, but specifically the guys who survived the rebuild. And I believe I saw a couple people, a couple of the writers who cover the team calling them rebuild survivors. Those are really the guys that stole the show. The guys who have been on this team for the last few years, guys like Rhys Hoskins, who hit the Grand Slam, Odubel Herrera, Cesar Hernandez, Michael Franco, the guys who have been on this team for the last couple of years, last few years for some of these guys, they really stepped up in this ballgame. And what this team showed you was that this lineup, the expectations about this offense and this lineup, it's just one game. I get that it's just one game, but this is a team that could score a lot of runs this year. I mean, there is no weak spot in this lineup. 1-8, this lineup, McCutchen, Segura, Harper, Hoskins, Realmuto, Herrera, Cesar Hernandez, Michael Franco, 1-8, these guys can all hit. They can all hit. I mean, when Michael Franco, who just a couple of years ago was the three-hole hitter on opening day and the four-hole hitter the last two seasons, when he's hitting .800 for you, when he was your team leader in batting average last year at .270, he's your eight-hole hitter. You saw how deep this lineup was here on Thursday afternoon. And what a difference a year makes. Remember how we felt after last year's opening day when Gabe Kapler removed Aaron Nola from the game early? The Phillies blew a 5-0 lead to this same baseball team in Atlanta, and the season just got off to a dreadful start. Do you remember? That was a year ago. It could not be more different this year. A complete 180 from one year to the next, from one opening day to the next. This is a team that came out and just put bat on ball and put the pedal to the metal and blitzed the Atlanta Braves right out of Philadelphia, and they have a couple days to enjoy it. They have an off day on Friday. They won't play the Braves again until Saturday and Sunday. It's a Saturday afternoon game, and then they play on ESPN's Sunday Night Baseball. So we may push back Hit and Season episode 273 and record on Monday night so that we can incorporate the Sunday night game into our conversation as well. But just so you're aware, Justin Clue and Liz Rocher will be recording a Continued Success where they will share their thoughts on opening day with you as well. I couldn't resist. I had to get on the air. I had to talk about this game because I was so fired up by the end of it. It's just a different feel compared to last year, and the season has gotten off to a great start. And when a team hits like the Phillies did and pitches the way they did, it makes life very easy for manager Gabe Kapler. The bottom line is Kapler won't have to do as much of the quote-unquote crazy stuff as he did last year with this everyday eight. He's not going to have to manipulate the lineup based on that pitcher's tendencies and the certain hitter's tendencies. It's probably going to be a pretty stable eight. And when they go out and score those kinds of runs, they make a manager's job pretty darn easy. Now, manager still has to decide when to take the pitcher out, and he did a good job with taking out Aaron Nola today. Aaron Nola pitched very well, but wasn't his sharpest. He pitched six innings, struck out eight, but walked a career-high five batters. The strike zone was a little small today, but uncharacteristically, Nola walked five batters, three in the second inning alone, which is when he gave up his lone run on the day. Just two hits given up by Aaron Nola, one run, again, five walks and eight strikeouts in those six innings of work, but he left with a 6-1 lead thanks to the fine work of his offense. And the Phillies got the season started off right. Maybe this is a good omen Andrew McCutchen, a guy we don't talk about a whole lot, leading off the Phillies season by crushing the third pitch he saw into the center field bushes for a leadoff home run. He became just the third Phillies player, according to Baseball Reference's database, to hit a home run in the team's first plate appearance of the season, and was the first to do it for the Phillies in Philadelphia since Heinie Mueller in 1930. So Andrew McCutchen joins the great Heinie in being the first Phillies player in their first at-bat of the season to go yard. And just obviously that was a portent of good things to come in this ball game. One of the moves that everybody in baseball is going to be talking about was a few innings later when the Braves intentionally walked Bryce Harper to load the bases with no one out. And when you're talking about how deep this lineup is, consider that they did that in order to then face Hoskins, Realmuto, and Herrera. Folks, that tells you all you need to know about how good this lineup is. So we're going to get to the Rhys Hoskins home run in just a second. But first, I want to talk about some of the players who've been here for a little while. And they are all hitting at the bottom of the lineup. Not, you know, all the guys not named Rhys Hoskins anyway. But here's the thing. The bottom of this lineup is ridiculous because there is no bottom of the lineup. The bottom of this lineup is what the top of the lineup used to be. Just going back to last year, Cesar Hernandez had been the leadoff hitter the last two seasons. You had Odubel Herrera was the two-hole or the three-hole hitter these last few seasons. Michael Franco was the three- or the four-hole hitter these last few seasons, including last year. And here they are at the bottom of this ridiculous order with Andrew McCutchen leading off, Gene Segura at number two, Bryce Harper at three, Rhys Hoskins at four, JT Realmuto at five, Odubel Herrera at six, Hernandez seven, Franco eight. That's crazy, crazy lineup length. And in the third inning, I think it was, it was in the third inning when Odubel Herrera broke a 1-1 tie with a clutch two-out single up the middle after Harper and Hoskins both struck out with a runner on third and nobody out. Gene Segura had gotten an infield single. A throwing error allowed him to go to second base, and then a wild pitch allowed him to go to third. And there he sat with Bryce Harper just aching to drive him in, but Harper struck out. Then Rhys Hoskins also struck out looking. And so now all of a sudden you had a runner on third base in Segura with two out. And you could feel the groaning in the stadium. You're like, oh, this would just not be. This is in the fourth inning, not the third inning, by the way. Sorry about that. The fourth inning. And you didn't want to blow this opportunity. You didn't want things to get off on this kind of a start. You didn't want things to get off to a disappointing start and leave Aaron Nola hanging. And Odubel Herrera didn't try to do too much with a Julio Teheran pitch and bounced it right up the middle. There was no shift on. Went into center field to score Gene Segura. And then right after that, you had Cesar Hernandez drive in Odubel Herrera So you had Gene Segura on third base. After Harper and Hoskins both struck out, JT Realmuto worked a walk. So you had runners on first and third and two outs. Odubel Herrera hit a ball up the middle for a single that put runners on first and second with two out. And then Cesar Hernandez on the first pitch that he saw laced a double down the left field line. That scored JT Realmuto and gave the Phillies a 3-1 lead. Just really good hitting from Herrera and Hernandez to get those runs home. That was a big boost. I'm not so sure the Phillies would have done the damage they did had those two runs not scored. That really gave everyone a lift. The Phillies had a lead at 3-1. It was just two innings later in the bottom of the sixth inning when Michael Franco really put some distance between the Phillies and the Braves by hitting a three-run bomb out of the eight-hole after a terrific at-bat in which he fouled off pitch after pitch to give the Phillies a 6-1 lead. And here's the thing about Franco. I have been on numerous occasions ready to give up on Michael Franco. I just have never been convinced that he was the guy to be their everyday third baseman, not since that 2016 season in which he was so disappointing. But hitting in the number eight hole might agree with Michael Franco, especially if he's going to hit with a lot of guys on base, because he crushed that ball to left field. And as an eight-hole hitter, you could do a whole lot worse than Michael Franco. As Megan Montemuro noted on Twitter, the Phillies' number eight hitters last year batted .238, .307, .372. And I think we can all agree that Michael Franco will hit better than that this year. He hit .270 last year. Again, he was the team's He had the team's best batting average last year, Mike Franco did, and he's now your number eight guy. So with a 6-1 lead, the Braves got it a little bit closer. Who had a two-run home run for them to make it 6-3? Sorry, bear with me for just 1 second while I pull up that dude's name, because it really, really is no one of great consequence. It was, let's see, Joyce, that's right. It was Matt Joyce who came up and hit a two-run homer off Hector Neris, which was really the only bad point in the game was Hector Neris serving up another bomb. Missed his location wildly there, and Matt Joyce hit one out and brought the Braves to within 6-3. But then, in the bottom of the seventh inning, the Phillies blew this game open. Andrew McCutchen drew a walk, and then Gene Segura, who makes contact, baby. You need these contact guys in the lineup. You need these guys who are aggressive sprinkled into the lineup. You can't have a lineup full of guys who just want to take that first pitch strike every time. You need a couple of guys like Gene Segura and Michael Franco, high contact guys who won't strike out very often and will put the ball in play. Gene Segura used his contact and his speed, unlike Franco. Segura can actually run a little bit. He singled on a soft ground ball to the pitcher, Luke Jackson, but Jackson threw the ball wildly past Freddie Freeman at first base. That allowed Andrew McCutchen to go to third base. Segura went to second. And then the Braves did the stupid thing that everybody has been talking about. Bryce Harper had struck out in his previous two plate appearances and had grounded out in his first plate appearance. But obviously, Bryce Harper is a scary guy to pitch to. But they intentionally walked Bryce Harper to load the bases with nobody out, and Rhys Hoskins, JT Realmuto, and Odubel Herrera all coming up next. And then Rhys Hoskins did what I think we are all hoping to see so much this season. When guys are getting walked in front of him, when Bryce Harper is getting intentionally walked, just like he did in spring training when Bryce Harper got intentionally walked right in front of him, Rhys Hoskins came up and hit his first career grand slam, blowing the game wide open, giving the Phillies a 10-3 lead, a lead they would not relinquish. I can't believe that was his first grand slam, though. But Rhys Hoskins got a curtain call, and it struck me when Hoskins came out for that curtain call. This rebuild has been a long slog. I can't remember the last curtain call a Phillies player had based on something that they did on the field in a game. It's been a long time. I couldn't tell you the last time I remember a Phillies player coming out for a curtain call. It may have happened last year. It may have happened recently, and I just am not remembering it. The Phillies have had a number of walk-off wins in recent seasons, but never. I can't remember a game where somebody did something like what Rhys Hoskins did and came out for the curtain call. It's something we saw a lot from 2007 to 2011, but I can't remember the last time a Phillies player came back out and did a tip of the cap, a curtain call to the fans. And it was just awesome. And watching the celebration Rhys Hoskins had with Bryce Harper, they did some kind of Bash Brothers arm bash and then patted each other on the back. It was very cool. He gave a high five to Segura, and then Hoskins and Andrew McCutchen have something worked out. It looked like a basketball move where they kind of slapped each other's hands and then did like a duck and weave and threw something up in for a layup or something. It was very cool. And after the game was over, you saw they have a whole celebration planned out, and the three outfielders do. McCutchen, Odubel Herrera, and Bryce Harper. This team is just going to be fun this year, guys. This team is just going to be fun. And that's what we've been missing. Fun baseball in Philadelphia. Even last year, when the team was in first place, no one was having fun. It didn't look like anyone was having fun on the field, and certainly fans were not having fun watching this team. Opening day at Citizens Bank Park was a blast. I wish I could have been there. I wish I could have been there to take all that in. And what I would like for you guys to do, and I sent out a tweet about this a little while ago, but I want you guys to let us know what you think about what, if you were at opening day, what did you think about what you saw? What was the atmosphere like? I want you guys to give us a call on the Hit and Season hotline at 215 215- 650-7270 and explain what it was like when Rhys Hoskins hit that grand slam. Give us a call. Let us know what it was like to be there on opening day, because again, I think this was the best opening day I can remember the Phillies having ever in my life. I can't remember a better opening day than this, because when you come into this game with all of the expectations that this team had, all of these great players, all of these star players coming in, and for the star players to produce, and for the guys who had been here forever to produce, and Pat Nashak at the end of the game spearing that line drive right at him and doubling a player off first base, it was everything we could have wanted opening day to be. And the Phillies gave it to us. The Phillies gave it to us on Thursday. And so it's just a cause for celebration. The Phillies fans will get a chance to just dwell in this for the next 48 hours until Nick Pivetta takes the mound for the Phillies against the Braves on Saturday afternoon. And we get to do it all over again. But folks, you have a good baseball team in front of you. I don't think this team's going to get off to a slow start. These guys look ready. They look ready to play. They look ready to go. I think this is going to be a fun season. This is going to be a fun baseball team. These guys like each other. They're having fun with each other. The addition of Bryce Harper, even though he didn't do much today, you saw the impact Bryce Harper had on this lineup. They intentionally walked Bryce Harper to get to Rhys Hoskins, a boneheaded move as you will ever see, and the Phillies made them pay. Rhys Hoskins made them pay. This lineup, these players, it's so talented. It's so deep. This offense is going to do some big-time damage this year, guys, and it's just going to be great to see. Baseball is fun again in Philadelphia. Baseball's back, baby. Opening day taught us baseball is back, and this team is going to be a blast to watch. That'll do it for this episode of Hittin' Season, episode number 272, a special opening day recap edition of the podcast. Again, make sure to tune in to Continued Success with Justin and Liz. They're going to give you their thoughts about opening day. That should be out on Friday afternoon, so check that out. And if you haven't gotten a chance to check out the Hittin' Season Patreon, go to patreon.com/hittin'season and check out all of the bonus content we have for you there. I have a video series where I open some old baseball cards called Cards on the Table, talk about some of the players that we get. We had a great episode this last time. Lots of familiar names to talk about. Justin and Liz review trashy baseball romance novels, and Justin and Trevor Strunk give you bonus content from The Dirty Inning, and I will be providing some written content there as well for you. So make sure to also check out thegoodfight.com for our comprehensive coverage of opening day and the 2019 season. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I'll talk to y'all next time right here on Hittin' Season.